Welcome to the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today, we are going to talk about partnerships. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Isn't it appropriate that you and I are doing this together?
I'm a little afraid about this episode because I might accidentally say something which could ruin everything.
You could. This might be the last podcast we ever record.
This could be the last podcast we ever record.
So we're going to talk about a couple of kinds of partnerships. One would be with your spouse, which is something that you have.
Right.
And then,
which I don't advise, by the way. I just put that out there.
Whoa, okay. We're going to just jump right in. And then we're also going to talk about partnerships not with your spouse, which would be ours.
Right.
And I've had several partnerships in the past as well. So we're going to try to cover all of them. So we want to jump in with the spouse one since you went right there initially.
We can. I mean, on one hand, working with your spouse, it's someone you can trust implicitly. And it's someone you know who has the same interests as you. Like, both of you are not going to, like, all the money comes into the same pot or whatever. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, a lot of times what happens is that's all you talk about. Or when you get into a fight about the business, other stuff just kind of creeps in. Let's just leave it at that because I know my wife listens to this podcast. Yeah. But
I was going to say, we should have had her on.
Maybe. That would have been a disaster. I would lose two partners.
Yeah. All in one 40-minute episode. You'd be alone.
But we might be arguing about something related to the business, and all of a sudden it leads to something else that I did like a while back.
Mm-hmm.
Or it works both ways too, right? Just little things about like the marriage always creep into every argument.
Okay,
like, always do this. You always, you know.
You always make me prioritize everything I ask you from a scale of 1 to 5. Does that come in?
Oh, you had to bring that up.
Oh, I had to bring it up.
Okay,
I did.
So that's, yes. All right. So I run two businesses, one with my wife and one without. And whenever my wife asks for something, and this always gets me into trouble. I wonder why.
I wonder.
I always ask, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is the priority of this? Because I have a whole bunch of things on my list, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes what she asks might not be the highest priority thing.
Yeah.
And so I ask her to prioritize. And if it's not like above what I currently have in my mind, then I'll put it off until later. But in her mind, everything that she asks should be number one. Do you agree with that?
Do I agree that everything that your wife asks for should be number one? Absolutely.
Yes.
'Cause I'm going to be team Jen. But in general, Here's what I think happens though. I feel like when I ask you for something, let's just say, for the most part, I do feel like it's a pretty big priority because I don't like to ask you for things, right? I like to try to do it myself. So I can see how in her mind it would be a top priority if she sort of has that same philosophy of you don't really ask until you're desperate or you need something. But I don't know if that's how she approaches things. So that would be my approach to it.
So you carefully sidestepped the direct question.
Do you agree
that business tasks should be prioritized according to impact?
Absolutely.
Okay. So
that's
your
an
team
engineer
Steve
thing, though.
Is what I'm hearing.
Well, okay then. Okay.
Right?
We're going to go there. I'm team Switzerland on this. But okay. Anyway, I think so. I would say, as someone who's never worked with a spouse and now doesn't have one, I don't think I would ever work with my spouse for that very reason, because I feel like marriage is hard enough without also bringing in a whole other dynamic that adds the potential for conflict. And I mean, in business, there's going to be conflict and we'll talk about that. But I think for me, I don't want that. And I also, honestly, I don't think I could take direction from a spouse in a business. Like, I could not stand for a spouse to tell me what to do. You can tell me what to do. I mean, I don't take it very well, let's be honest. But, you know.
I never tell you what to do.
Well, that's true. But if you did, I'd be okay with it maybe occasionally, once or twice.
Really?
Like, just like once a year. Let's not
once
get
a
crazy.
Okay, fine. All right, fine.
But
okay.
I think I would have trouble taking direction, like, not orders, because orders sound so harsh. But I think I would have a lot of trouble with that in general.
I think it's all how you phrase it.
Sure.
Right. With anything, even with your spouse, it's all how the words that you use.
But like, let's talk about that for real, because like you and I, we have a pretty good relationship, I would say. But sometimes you'll say something and you're like, did you do this? Or and the way you phrase it is not very like, and I will find myself like, ugh, like he's bossing.
You know why?
Why?
I do like, it because normally I'm careful, but I know you can take it. So why should I like waste time with extra superfluous words?
Okay, I totally agree with you, and I'm the same way. I'm like, is this done? Where is this? Like, that's how we talk to each other. But at the end of the day, like, I also don't have to eat dinner with you every night, right? So even if I'm slightly like miffed about something that you say, which typically I'm not, I could see in a different world that would, like, I don't want to have to be careful about everything I say to somebody. I don't want to have to try to phrase everything. That's why I like working with people that I can just say, like, hey, where is this? Because I'm not quite as concerned about hurting their feelings. That's why I would.
And again, I think it just depends on the spouse, too. Right?
Sure.
I mean, maybe,
for sure.
Maybe you can have a relationship with your spouse like that.
Yeah. I doubt
it's
it.
Just not that way, obviously, with
I don't. I don't think so. I feel like over time that would wear somebody down. In if they were spouse versus just partnership. You know what I mean?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it just depends on the level of stress with the other stuff going
on. Yeah. Okay, right? So what are some tips if you are already in a partnership with your spouse? Because I feel like you've been really successful with this, to be honest. Like, you guys have had Bumblebee for, what, 10 years?
Yeah, it's over actually 10 years? Been... No, it's been 14 years
14,
now.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Time's flying.
I think the number one key is to just make sure you don't overlap in anything.
Okay.
That you do, right? So the one spouse is in charge of this, and then the other spouse is in charge of that, and they are the kings in that kingdom. They make all the decisions in that department.
Yeah.
And you cannot argue with that person in that department. Well, you can argue, but...
You always have to defer. At the end,
correct.
You defer. You can
right.
give an opinion, but you're never going to override.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Okay. Your decision has priority in that department.
That's a good one.
When we first started out, it was not like that. And that's when we ran into problems.
Yeah.
Like, I got into like the product a little bit, and that shouldn't be my department, right?
You
and
were like embroidering, like yeah. getting crazy threads. You're like, let's yeah. try gold foil. Yeah, I can see.
The other advice that I would have, I guess, is, and this is my fault. Like, so my wife used to have like the hobby of embroidery, and I decided to monetize it, and I kind of ruined her hobby.
Yeah.
So don't turn something that you enjoy doing into part of your business. That sounds weird, right?
See,
but
yeah.
Because once you start doing it for money, it's not going to be fun anymore.
But I agree. But then also, don't you want to monetize what you love doing? Because then it doesn't feel like work.
But it always feels like work when you're obligated to do it.
Yeah, that's true.
Right?
Okay.
In terms of just conflict, I think the best thing that you can do is just, and I think this applies to everything, is to just take a step back, wait like 10, 15 minutes, and then talk mm-hmm. about it. But that's hard. That's really hard.
I love, because we're on video with each other as we're recording this, I love watching you squirm through these questions, like
great.
Trying to be politically correct. I love it.
I'm going to shut off my video now.
No, I think it's just tricky. And I think here's what I see too, especially in like the content, like influencer space, is that one spouse starts in a business and then the other spouse ends up quitting their job and coming to work for them or with them. And to
yeah,
me,
that's tricky too.
That is a recipe for disaster, because I feel like they're just, especially when, and this is going to go sideways for me, I know, especially when it's the female who has the business and the male quits their job and then works for the female. It just, in my opinion, does not work.
I'm trying to think who has that arrangement.
I mean, I can't say, I know lots of people, but I don't want to talk, like, I'm not going to talk about people.
Okay.
But
I know our friends, Jordan and Jenny, that relationship works out pretty well.
But he had the business and she came to help him, right?
That's correct. That's
different.
Correct.
Different.
Yeah.
There's just something about that dynamic. I don't think it works.
Where the woman is the alpha, I guess,
mm-hmm.
in this case.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I
can't come
that.
Up with any examples, so
I can
I can't
come
refute
up with,
you.
I can come up with tons. Just scroll through Instagram and see who's divorced now, and that'll see what influencers are divorced, and I guarantee there's a
I mean,
there's
I can,
a component
I can see
there.
Why it'd be harder, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think, I don't know, that's whatever. We can move on from that now. And because I don't want to get myself in trouble.
I actually wouldn't agree with, you have to be equals. It can't be like one person's business and the other person's like a worker, because it just doesn't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you also can't tell me that, like, so I have Happy Housewife, right? I started it a million years ago. 7 years in, if my spouse quits their job and comes work for me, that we're going to be equals. There's no possible way we're equals. right? Especially when you know, maybe they were an engineer or they were, you know, an accountant, right? So they don't really even know. It's not like they were like, well, they were in that space too, and they're just coming in with their like level of expertise. Typically, these people have no background in internet marketing or online stuff.
I could see it being equals if that person just handles all of your tech stuff and you're just the face.
That's my dream. That's my dream.
But you know what I mean, right?
Yeah, no, I agree.
Then you'd be equals.
Right, because then you can bucket it, right? Like that's your tech person. They handle all that stuff. And that's where I've seen it work a little bit better. But I also think it's really personality dependent too.
Yeah, totally. It totally is.
Yeah, you can't have two people that want to be in the spotlight usually, which typically if you're an influencer, you don't mind the spotlight.
I've seen it work out with two people in the spotlight, but if it becomes grossly imbalanced, then that's a problem too.
Okay, moving away from relationships and just straight up partnerships.
Well, take a step back. Like, why even get a partner?
don't do it.
Well, because I've been anti-partner for as long as I can remember.
You have.
Right.
That was actually one of the, what we had a conversation about that really early on.
Yeah.
Actually, you said, I will never have a partner.
I don't remember saying that. I use the word never.
Well, I will pretty much never have a partner. How about that?
But for Seller Summit, which is the conference that both Tony and I run, like I needed you. Like I wasn't going to do it without you.
Aw.
Did I just use the word need?
I know. Can I? I
want to. Is this recorded? Can we edit this part out?
No, absolutely. I'm like going to put this on like my, this will be my ringtone. Okay. Well, it's funny because, so we met at a conference and I don't know. We weren't really friends. We just kind of hung out and then we stayed in touch, I would say, after the conference.
You're talking about WDS?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But then, and then I ended up taking your profitable online store course and I got into e-commerce really because of you, because I thought it was interesting. So it was about a year and 4 months before we talked about even working, doing anything together.
It was a solid 2 years, I think.
Mm-mm.
Really?
No, okay. Because I met you in the summer. I got into e-commerce about 10 months later. And then it was that year that we decided to do Seller Summit. And I think one of the reasons why we decided to do it is because whenever I took your course, you said to me, I would love your feedback, because I had been running conferences and doing things for years before I met you. And you said, I would love your feedback on the course. Like, what's missing? What could I do better? Do you remember this?
I vaguely remember that, but yeah. I don't remember talking about Seller. I remember the exact moment we talked about Seller Summit, but go on. I'll let you tell your
anyway,
side of the story.
So one of the things that I felt like was missing from your course was the community aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I thought the content was great. I thought it was well done, super, like so much information, but it didn't feel like a community. And for me, having been really in the community space and like building communities, to me, that was what was missing for you. And I thought the component of your business that you didn't have. And so I thought that was what kind of led to conversations about Seller Summit. Maybe I'm wrong.
I remember having the conversation at, I think it was the Startup Bros.
Mm-hmm.
We were sitting on the couch and we were just talking about conferences in general, and then you threw it out there.
Yeah.
And you said, hey, you should do one.
But it was because that I felt like that was missing for you. Like, I felt like you were like really, I mean, clearly you were very successful back then, but I felt like that was the one thing that you didn't have was the community aspect, and that you were pretty unrelatable, in my opinion.
Hmm. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
I mean, I think it's fine. It's fine unless you want people to buy your course. So yeah, I do remember that sitting at Startup Bros, and because we went to two back-to-back conferences. We went to ECF and then we went to Startup Bros.
Right.
And I think I said to you, I'm trying to remember, I think I said, what if I do every single thing at the event and all you have to do is show up?
Yes, that was the magic words. I was like, I can show up.
Yeah. I think you were like, do I get a keynote?
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, so that was the reason. Outside of that, I'm kind of anti-partnership in general.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I guess it just depends if you're fully self-sufficient. Like, I feel like I can do all the different departments and probably hire it out, the ones that I don't want to do. And so that's why I'm resistant to it. Like, why should I depend on someone to do something that I can probably do better? It's generally my attitude. It's probably the wrong attitude, but
everything you can do better. There's no limits.
That's actually what I believe in a lot of cases.
I know.
Right? Or I might not be good, but if I want to be good at something, I can be good at it.
Yeah. So I'm probably the direct opposite of you, right? Like, I like partnerships, mainly because I think most of the time they're more fun. I've had partnerships go absolutely in the toilet. I also feel like there's just things that I know that I'm not good at, and I don't ever want to be good at them.
Right.
So for me, I like partnerships because it allows me to really stay in the areas that I want to be in, and I don't have to deal with the stuff that I don't like. The problem is when you partner with somebody who also doesn't like those same areas, right? Like, you have to be really picky, because I think that's the problem, is that a lot of times partnerships, I see this all the time in like the content world, is that two people become friends, they have an idea, and they're like, let's do it together. And then they both realize they're terrible at the same things. Or right. They don't want to, and then nobody does the things that have to be done and everything. And then there's always the blame game, and, you know, things go sideways really quickly.
Yeah, for me, it's always more fun, but then you have to split the revenue in half, right?
Yep.
And so it becomes much easier when you don't need that money as much, I guess, than if you completely depend on it.
Oh, but yeah, that makes sense.
But I agree with you for the most part. It's more fun, and if you have complementing, you know, talents or skills, then it can really work out.
Okay, so if someone, let's talk about this. If you're thinking about doing a partnership, what would you tell somebody to look out for? Because I feel like our partnership is, we've broken all of the rules, basically, for partnerships.
Really? What rules have we broken? I mean, you're my first partner, really. So you tell me, right?
Well, I would say that we kind of jumped into Seller Summit without a real, like, I mean, we don't even have anything on paper for Seller Summit.
Oh, that's what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we don't have anything on paper for anything.
Right. Which I would say is a terrible thing for people to do.
Okay.
Because when I had a partnership with an event, actually, before Seller Summit, when that went sideways, we had no legal agreement other than like an LLC, which doesn't mean anything. So
okay,
when
that situation is different, is it not?
What do you mean?
Weren't those people strangers?
They were not totally. They were definitely more strangers than how much we knew each other when we got started. But
right.
I still feel like it doesn't matter.
I agree with you.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then why are we violating your principles?
Yeah, it's too late now. I mean, good grief.
It's not
it's been,
too late, actually.
It's been too long.
We can draft something up if you
we'll
want.
We'll draft it up right after we record this. But I think it's important to really, like, okay, so especially if you don't, actually, I think even if you do know the person, because then there's a whole other component of the friendship, right? But you have to have some sort of like agreement of like, hey, this is your roles, responsibilities, and these are mine. Because that's what got me into trouble with my partnership that went really horribly, is that the girl that we were working with just decided she wanted to do something totally different that didn't need to be done. And so we're splitting money with her, and she wasn't doing anything to make the money. Like, we were making all the money, and she was still getting, it was four of us, and she was still getting 25% and literally doing not a thing. And so when we confronted her in a very like nice, non-confronting way, she was, you know, we didn't have anything to say. The only thing we had was a napkin from a Mexican restaurant where I had written out a business plan on, which strangely that doesn't hold up anywhere. You know, a napkin with an outline does not help you. And I think we ended up having to dissolve the business because we couldn't come to an agreement, and there were attorneys, it got really messy. And I think had we even had like a basic agreement of roles and responsibilities, we would have been in a much different situation. And financially, I would have been way better off than what happened in the end.
Sure. But that person was just an acquaintance, right?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, she became a friend. We worked together for 5 years, 4 years, so...
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I can see the importance of it, but I can't personally imagine, like, even if things got really bad between you and I, I still think I could logically be fair about it.
Agreed. But I think you and I would tend to be more logical anyway.
Uh-huh.
Like, I think you and I both have the ability to take emotion out of every decision, which a lot of people do not do that. You way more so than me, but I think both of us sort of operate from that position most of the time.
Yeah. Well, who knows? After this episode, things might change. We'll see.
Sorry. We'll see. No more course. No more Seller Summit. It's all done. No more podcast.
I mean, you've had some horror stories. So like I said, I only have one partner.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a whole history of stuff. So based on your prior partnerships, what were some of the mistakes that you made besides that?
Yeah, so I would say definitely not having some sort of agreement is the biggest one. I think that actually, if your friends are not, you need to do it. More so with friends, because that's the other thing. Like, you know, one of my partnerships is with a friend. And so whenever there's a problem, the friendship sort of interferes with the business decisions, right? I feel like if there's clear roles and responsibilities and clear delineations on what people are supposed to do, then the friendship component can kind of be pushed to the side, because you're just operating off a piece of paper, right? Or you're operating off a set of things that you agreed to initially, and you're basically, that's what I'm saying, take the emotion out of everything. Although, you know, I also have a business with my friends Andrea and Aaron, and we basically, when we had the whole thing go sideways with the other partner, we basically, the three of us said, listen, friendship over everything. If we can't come to an agreement, we just say, screw this, like, we're done, and our friendship matters more. And we've operated from that position for the rest of the time. And it's not always, like, we've had disagreements and things have been tough and we've disagreed on a lot of things. But at the end of the day, we've just all made the commitment that our friendship's more important. But at the end of the day, that business is not something that makes me enough money to where I have to care about it. If that business paid my mortgage, I don't think I could have that position, right?
Right. Yes, that's what I was going to say. If it's money that you need...
Yeah.
And that becomes a different story altogether also.
Yeah. So I think the first thing is to have like clear roles and responsibilities and clear, like even down to like, okay, who does what? I think you just have to do those things in order to make it fair and to avoid silly conflicts. Because what happens is you have a little conflict that turns into a big conflict.
Sure.
I think most of the time.
What about having more than one partner? That just sounds like double the trouble for me.
Yeah, I will say, like, I probably wouldn't go into that again. I mean, I love Andrea and Aaron, and it's been great, but it definitely is just, it's just a lot. It's a lot to work with a bunch of other people.
Yeah.
And the more people you add, the more complexity there is to it, and the more potential for problems. Although the three of us have had very few issues, but I would say, I don't think I'd ever go into a partnership with more than one person again. But then I think about, like, I was thinking actually about this, like, Beard Brand. Aren't there three of them in Beard Brand?
There are, actually.
Yeah. I was thinking about them yesterday, actually.
Yeah, they make it work. I mean, obviously no one knows like the true workings of any partnership,
right,
really, outside of the partners themselves. But at least on the surface, things seem really good. I know our friend Brandon Ely, he had a partner, and that kind of went sideways, and he ended up buying him out, I think.
Yeah.
So things like that happen. Actually, we had, on 5-Minute Pitch, one of the contestants had a partner too, who didn't do any of the work whatsoever.
Yeah.
And then he wanted some ridiculous price for a buyout. And finally, over the years, he finally ended up buying him out. So things go sideways all the time. It seems like it's pretty common, actually.
And I would say before you pick a partner, you have to, I mean, I don't know if I would become a partner with an acquaintance, only because I feel like at least if you're partnering with, I don't know if I become a partner with a friend. It's kind of hard, because it's like, well, at least with a friend, you kind of have seen their good and bad already. Like, I think when we became partners, I had a decent idea of the things that I knew that you would be good at, and I knew the things you weren't good at, or weren't, I mean, you can be good at anything, but yeah. I knew that, I'm trying to be nice to you.
I know you are.
It didn't
even
sound genuine, didn't it?
No, it didn't. You were like, oh.
But I knew that, like, you were not going to be able to figure out the menus for Seller Summit, or... you know, the room setups, like, clearly that's not something that you're ever going to do, because it's not that you couldn't learn how to do that. You clearly could, but it's,
I would,
just
that's
like,
not something I would want to spend brain power on. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So that's the thing, like, you and your brain power stuff, it's like, you're not going to be able to spend brain power on, you know, how many gallons of coffee. And that's fine, because I can do that in my sleep. So I think you have to, if you're friends with somebody, you already have a little bit of a baseline of, okay, what are they really good at? And then I think the other thing is, how do they deal with conflict? That's a big one.
See, how do you know that, though?
Because if you're friends with them, then you probably have had some kind of conflict with them.
Yeah,
at some
but
point.
You had never seen me in conflict before, have you?
I mean, I have.
Now you have, but have you really?
I don't know. Maybe not. Hopefully.
Right, and I don't think I've seen you in major conflict.
I think you have.
Maybe? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But I think by the time we partnered up, we had a feel of each other's personalities, at least to some
sure.
extent. Not to the level that we have now, for sure. But I think that's important, is understanding, like, because I think the biggest issue with partnerships and why there's two main reasons why partnerships go south. The first one is one partner just doesn't do anything, right? Or maybe they don't do what's expected. They don't meet the expectations of the other partner. And then the second reason, I think, is because there's a communication issue. So instead of, like, let's just say they're not meeting the expectations of the other person. Instead of the other person early on in this, like, trend saying, like, hey, I feel like maybe we have miscommunication here. I thought you were going to do X, Y, Z. The other partner just stews on it, right? Until it gets to the point where there's no communication. And then they flip out one day because, you know, the one person's like, I've been doing this for 7 months and, you know, you haven't done jack. And then the other person's offended because they thought they were doing what they were supposed to be doing, right? So I think that's one of the biggest issues is because, and when you're in a partnership, I think you try to avoid the conflict, right? Like, it's easier for you to just, like, suck it up and maybe do something than to address it because you don't want to have that conflict to begin with.
Yeah. I mean, that happens all the time. Or actually what normally happens is, let's say, for example, it takes me like 5 times longer to do something than you. And so we're spending the same amount of time and I'm working just as hard as you are, but I'm just not as accomplishing as much because I'm just not as fast at it. But then the other person gets frustrated.
So right? You're really talking about me spending five times longer than you.
I didn't say that.
That's what you meant.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's how I felt whenever we started the course, because you had been teaching your other course for 7-8 years by the time we started Profitable Audience. And it took me, it still takes me probably 3 or 4 times longer to make slides and make a video than you.
I mean, who knows how long it really takes?
I know it doesn't take you that long because you do it 30 minutes before the lesson. So,
and I've been better about it.
You have been. You've been great at it, lately. But I'm starting on Sunday, so for a Thursday lesson. So to me, I feel like, oh, this is taking me so long and it doesn't take you long at all. I don't have any resentment about that. Like, I just realize it's a learning curve for me. I mean, I get faster every time I do it. But for you, I could see you being frustrated because it takes me so long to do these things. I mean, that would...
Actually, I don't get frustrated as long as it happens on time. It doesn't matter how you do it.
Right. No, but I could see that being a frustration point for people in general.
Right. Yeah. You know what's funny about this conversation is my cousin, he always partners with people he doesn't know. And it always works out for the most part.
How does he like vet them?
Because they've started other companies.
Okay.
So they have the experience just or a track record.
Okay. But what about like personality wise? He just doesn't care.
Yeah, that's weird. He's a weird guy. I mean, like, he's pretty unique in that aspect. But I think he just throws money at the lawyers and then they draft up something.
Okay.
So similar to your first point, right?
Yeah.
And I think things have gone sideways, but then they just part ways based on the letter of the document.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's why I think that's pretty crucial if you haven't gotten into a partnership yet to start with that, because then it's easy. It's way easier to end it than it is if there's nothing written down.
Right.
So I think another thing is for me, like, I know your cousin partners with people that he doesn't know, but I actually, like, I don't want to partner with someone I don't know.
Oh, I don't either.
I want to partner with someone I like to work with. Because to me, that's like, there's the benefits of working with somebody. The main benefit for me would be like finding someone who compliments you. And I think that's number one. But very close number two is someone that you have fun working with. Because to me, it's like, I don't want to work with somebody that I don't want to hang out with or talk to. Because I mean, we talk every single day. Mostly it's about work stuff, but it always devolves into non-work stuff at some point, right? And so it's like, why would I want to work with somebody that I couldn't like just have a regular conversation with?
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I guess it just depends on what the motive is.
Yeah.
Right? So if your goal is to just make a lot of money over all else, then maybe you'd want to just partner. Maybe it wouldn't matter less, the personality.
I don't know though, because I feel like if you really work well with somebody, then you're going to make money.
You're going to make money, but you might not be maximizing. So for example, I might want to work with someone, if money was my primary goal, I might want to work with someone who's like the foremost expert on a particular topic. And you do this, I do that. We don't have to talk to each other until it's time to meld. And that's like just the best on paper for that.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm talking out of my butt right now, but I'm just thinking to myself in like the tech world, I see that stuff happening all the time.
I don't know if I agree with it. I mean, I agree with it, but I don't.
Yeah.
Like most people that are listening to this are not looking.
Exactly. Yeah. Most people listening to this should probably just When it's fun, it doesn't seem like work, and then just stuff gets done, basically.
Okay, so let's talk about when things aren't fun.
Yeah, when things aren't fun, I think it just depends on the personality. You just happen to be more logical than most. So at least I can appeal to that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to be careful with my words here. Otherwise,
I know. I can tell.
We don't really have that much conflict. I can only.
No. We've had a couple.
We've had a couple, but I don't even remember what they are now.
No.
You probably do, but I don't.
You're like, yeah, hold on. Let me get my notebook out.
right.
I think in any partnership, you're going to have conflict. That's normal because they're your people, right? So there's going to be times when one person says something or expectations aren't met or, you know, someone makes a mistake. I don't know. There's just so much opportunity, especially in a business. And sometimes the mistakes can be big. Now, I don't think either of us have made like giant mistakes in the business, but, you know, it's definitely possible in a partnership for that to happen. To me, it's all about how you communicate. I think the biggest problem is that people don't communicate at all. And then it sort of spirals into this huge conflict that could have been solved with most of our conversations happen over chat. We chat each other all day long, right?
Right.
But I know when things get important, we will call each other. And I actually think that's really important because when you're talking on the phone with somebody, then all of a sudden you get the inflection in their voice. You can tell how upset they are. Whereas on chat, sometimes things come across really wrong. And sometimes you'll say stuff over chat where I get offended, but you're not even upset, or I get defensive because I think you're upset, but you were just saying something, but I take it the wrong way. And I react negatively. And then you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like, that's not what I meant. And then it's fine. But not everybody is you who will immediately like be like, hey, this is misunderstood. Some people will then get defensive back, right? Like me, I'll be like, I'm all in. Let's go. Let's fight. So I think if you have a conflict with somebody, you have to get on the phone with them or see them in person if they're local, or get on video, whatever. You can't do it over message or chat or text. It just doesn't work.
Yeah, I think the key is to not let the resentment grow. Like, I feel like I'm pretty good about letting you know when I'm disappointed.
I have a list of all the emails you've sent me.
You're joking, right?
I'm joking. They're chat messages. But
actually, what usually happens is you just do a 180 and then you start doing everything. I'm like, okay, I can't stay mad anymore. Right?
Yeah, it's totally true.
Yeah. But actually, I feel like you hold it in more. So I have to actually rip it out of you sometimes.
Yeah, that's definitely an area where I'm trying to be better in. Because part of me also feels like, is this just me being picky? Is this just me like being overly sensitive or expectant? Or to me, it's like I'm always thinking, okay, this is probably on me and not on the other person. And so I like to sit on it for a while. But the problem is when it's definitely not me, then if I sit on it, then I'm even madder by the time it comes out. And then it comes out not great because I've got way too much built up, which is silly.
I don't think I've seen that yet, have I?
No, and it's not awful. I'm not like screaming, but it's just like by the time I address it, I'm way too worked up about it because I haven't addressed it initially. So I think the most important thing with conflict is you have to address it right away and usually via phone or face-to-face, because I think you just have to be able to – because I think most of the time, like, people aren't that upset with each other.
Right.
And so when you can hear that in someone's voice, then it's totally different than reading it.
So one thing that I was worried about when we first started working together was things always change under pressure.
Yep.
And I'd never seen you under pressure, and I'm pretty sure you'd never seen me under pressure.
Yeah.
I can't even remember the last time I was actually under pressure, which is why I don't even remember what I'm like under pressure. Which is why, like, it's really hard to judge just based on a friend, you know, how they'll react in a certain situation. And the only reason why I say this is, like, I've had some friends where I've done deals with. These aren't businesses, but these are just deals.
Like, what are deals?
Deals like you go in on an investment together.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Or something like that. But then you have different ideals on what you want to do with it. Like when to sell, for example, or whatnot.
Right.
And it can just get really ugly.
See, I feel like with a friendship, sometimes you do see them more under pressure than just a random person.
That's true. Well, definitely, yeah, compared to a random person. But it's, okay, what I'm saying is hard to tell.
Yeah, I agree. So now that you've seen me under pressure, Well, which are like huge regrets.
With you, it's different because like the whole world could be crumbling all around you, but you'll get your work done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Which isn't normal, by the way.
Well, but, yeah. You know, you picked a good partner. I don't know what else to say to you.
Oh, God.
Okay. Here we go. Okay. So, yeah, I think with conflict, you have to address it. And I think sometimes you have to be okay to just realize that the partnership's not working and you've got to be okay walking. I think you have to go into a partnership being okay walking away at some point.
Are you referencing my blog post now that I recently wrote?
Yeah, should we talk about that?
We can, but I mean, we're already at the tail end of the episode here. That's like another episode in itself,
that's
right?
That's true.
When to end it, but yeah.
But I think if you go in with the mentality like this is not forever, I think your commitment level has to be forever. But I think there has to be an understanding that like there could be a time when this doesn't work anymore and that's okay. I think that's got to be a philosophy that you have when you have a partner.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know what to think about it, actually, because I don't have that many partners. But certainly with my wife, that's not the case.
Well, right? that was like moving away from the spouse. Yeah, definitely end it and keep the business. That's my advice for people. Well, see, I think with your spouse, it's the opposite. I think if you're partnered with your spouse, you have to say like, hey, the business is going to end before the marriage ends, right? Like that's probably your philosophy. But with a partner that's not someone you're married to, I think you have to realize that the partnership's going to end before the business.
Sure.
Totally opposite.
I guess things change. Although it's been, I mean, what's the longest partnership you've had?
Was it with Andrea and Aaron?
Okay. Yeah. And how many years has that been?
We're on 12 years now.
12 years. Okay. Yeah. So. That's a long time. And have there been times where you guys were going to dissolve things?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And how did you get over that?
And not for any reason, just because things change, right? People change, things change. And that's the other thing. Like when you're working with a partner, and I don't know how much this is true for everybody, but like for you and I, like this isn't our only thing. We have other things that we do without each other.
Right.
And those are our primary things. And so you have to realize that your partner might have something blow up and be super successful in some other component, and then they probably don't want to be in the partnership anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like it might not be something that they can dedicate the amount of time to, or maybe they're just not interested in it, or maybe things like completely change. Like I've seen partnerships where one person was just like, you know, I want to be a real estate agent now. I don't want to have a cooking blog. I mean, I'm not even kidding. There was like a lady that she literally went to, she started flipping houses. And so she left the partnership with the other girl that she was in and she started flipping houses. And so I think that's very possible. People change over time, especially in the internet world. Things change so quickly.
Or if things just not working out, like successful wise, right? If it's not successful, then after a while. Actually, where do you draw the line then in your mind? Like
for success?
No. Or when to end something. Like I'm pretty sure my criteria is different than yours.
Well, yeah, you have a rating system. What's my number?
Yes, I have a rating system. We'll talk about this on a separate episode. You're probably more touchy-feely about it, right?
Oh, now I don't want to say my answer.
What?
Okay. I would say my partnership with you if it stops being fun.
Right. It's more touchy-feely.
Yeah.
Right. Whereas I have this number system.
Yes. Yes, this archaic system that he's rating people. Just like he rates jobs from Jen, he rates partners.
Oh, God.
No, but I think the reason why I like working with you, I mean, obviously our businesses are not like losing money, but I think, and obviously if they were losing money, that would probably be a time to not do it. But I think as long as it's fun and it doesn't feel like work most of the time, some days it feels like work and I think that's fine. But I think as long as that's where it lives, then why would I not want to do it?
Hmm. Okay. I'm a little different. But actually, we did make a decent amount of change.
Yeah.
Over the years, right?
Yeah.
Like six figures.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So what's your criteria?
Well, let's say it wasn't going anywhere. If it's fun and it's not going anywhere, then I probably wouldn't ditch you as a partner, but I might ditch the project. And find a different one.
Oh, yeah. I agree. But right. I also think, like, according to you, we did that episode a couple weeks ago, when to quit, and you're like, give it 3 to 5 years.
Well, yeah. 3 to 5. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
We've exceeded that.
We have. Yeah. But, yeah, so I think, okay, so for you, there's money involved, which for me, there's money involved, too. I'm not just going to, like...
This doesn't necessarily be success. It could be It could be mind share, for example.
Okay.
Like if this podcast started taking off, but it wasn't making that much money per se, mm-hmm. but it was taking off. I mean, that's something.
Okay. So what's the rest of your criteria?
Well, we'll save that for another episode. It's too long. Oh, that was like okay. a 3,500 word blog post.
It was.
Yeah.
So, but can I just talk about when I got it in my inbox?
Sure.
So I'm on your email list, I think 17 times, actually. I think every one of my emails is on your list from all the testing that we used to do for like autoresponder sequences. So you can take me off if you want and just keep one. So I get your email on Tuesday. I think it's Tuesdays, right?
Your email Tuesdays, comes out. Yep.
It's like, what was the title of that post?
Should you quit your job?
Yeah, should you quit your job? But then, and I always click over and read at least like the first couple paragraphs of what you write. And because sometimes it's stuff that's not important to me at all. Like you did one on a Shopify replacement system a couple weeks ago. And right. I was like, yeah, I'm not switching. So I click over and like your second paragraph or your first paragraph was like, how do you know when you should quit your job, your project, or your business partner? And I was like,
that's the first line of the post. Yeah.
He only has one business partner and that's me. Like,
but that keyword was one that people search for.
And I'm thinking, is this how he's telling me that? But he's quitting in a blog post that comes to a generic email. Like, I had this like panic moment, and then I kept reading. And then I was like, "Well, now I'm reading." You know, way to suck me in. And then so I read through it. And then you're like, you talk about this rating system, and I was like, "Oh my god, I have a number! Like, what is going on here?" So anyway, and then I don't think I talked to you that day because I was like, I don't want to like. Like that. See, that's me not dealing with it, right? I should have just been like, dude, what the is going
on? Okay, what surprised me about this whole conversation is why would you even think that?
I don't know.
Like, did you screw up or something? Did you do something wrong that you didn't tell me about?
No, I didn't. I didn't touch the site.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't touch the text editor. I promise. Yeah, I panicked. I was like, oh my god, what's the deal? And then you were like, you're so dumb.
Like, I mean, if I read that post and you wrote it, I wouldn't think anything of it.
And this is why you shouldn't partner with a female.
What? But you're not normally like that.
I know, I'm not. Yeah. But I don't know if it was like just hit me at the right time or what, but I had this like moment. I think it's because you only have one business partner. I'm like, he's not an expert in quitting business partners. He doesn't have but one. Like,
but I do have a system.
You do have a system that we will talk about in another episode.
Yeah, we'll talk about another episode.
I want to know my number.
Do you really want to know your number?
I do, actually. Not publicly. Let's do it privately so I can cry.
We'll talk about it in a separate episode. Yeah. But it's this. It's not antiquated. What was the word that you used?
Archaic.
Same definition, right?
Yes.
Sometimes you need numbers to help you make a decision because it's not always black and white.
So for everything else that you wrote about in that post, I agreed with you. I think it's hard to assign numbers to a human. That's just my opinion.
Interesting.
And leave it at that.
So when you go into the hospital and you're about to give birth and they ask you what your pain level is on a scale of 1 to 10, isn't that like the same thing?
Wow. Okay. I mean, then the worldwide recognized pain scale that you've now co-opted as your own system.
Yes.
I mean, but it's still subjective. I mean,
of course it's subjective. It's your own rating system.
I can remember being in the ER with a kid like years ago and some guy walked in upright, had kidney stones, which I'm sure are awful. I'm not going to like minimize that. But the lady, the front, the nurse triage lady is like, what's your pain? And he's like, oh, 10 out of 10. And I'm like, if you're 10 out of 10, you can't be walking. So I'm like, I don't trust. Like, no, I think that's just too subjective.
I mean, things change all the time, too.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, we'll talk about it separately because there's something to account for that also. But anyway.
Okay, yes, yeah. We'll talk about that. So let's wrap it up. Let's talk about basic partnership principles.
So I don't think you should work with your spouse.
Agreed.
That's just my thing. You should have an agreement in place, even though we mm-hmm. totally don't obey that rule for everything that we do.
That's right.
So are we going to have an agreement now?
No, absolutely not.
Okay.
Well, and I think also like there shouldn't be anything that the other person doesn't have access to.
It's funny that you say that because I actually don't have access to any of the funds for Profitable Audience, do I?
Yes, you do.
Do I?
You have the credit card.
No, but it goes into the bank account.
Which I don't need access to it.
I'm just saying. Like, you're saying these things that we're not, you're putting out these rules that we're not obeying.
But you could, if you asked me, I would give.
Yeah.
I think it is available to you if you needed it. I'm not going to say where it lives on a public podcast.
No, of course. I just found it funny. I'm not complaining. Yeah. I think
there needs to be transparency. Because I think about the potential for problems if, like, I'm the only one that saw affiliate revenue come in. I mean, if there was a problem, then it's easy for then you to blame me for being, not that you would do this, but like, I think if everybody has access to the same things, then you can go look for yourself. If I say, oh, things are terrible, this isn't working, blah, blah, blah. And then you go look and you're like, well, actually, that's not true.
Yeah. You know? I mean, I think we're doing everything wrong, actually, but it's just working.
We're doing absolutely. Yes.
Because I've had friends who've had their partners embezzle all of their money, actually. It's happened.
Okay.
It happens.
Okay.
It does happen.
But how could you not, like?
Because they're in charge of the finances and someone else is in charge of marketing.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea, though.
I mean, in if it's a company, like not something smaller, I guess.
Right.
That's the way it has to run sometimes.
Sure.
But yeah.
Sure. But if you're talking about two people working together.
Yeah.
I think both of them should have equal access to everything.
Yeah. I mean, my point is that we're not obeying all the rules, and I hope it works out for us in the long run.
I mean, okay, another one that we didn't really touch on, but it's sort of in there, is that I think you have to talk to the other person before you make a big decision. We made a big decision yesterday, right? Or the day before, a big monetary decision.
We did.
Where you said, hey, can I spend X amount of dollars on this new program that I just found out about?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
That's correct, yes.
And it was a decent amount of money. So I think, you know, if you're going to spend $15 on something, sure, like, probably not something you need to discuss, but I think you have to kind of come up with a dollar amount where you discuss those things first.
I mean, that's a personality thing. Like, you know that I would never even spend like $5.
No,
I didn't have to.
Yeah, because when I had to upgrade our Buzzsprout account to the $18 mark, I was like, whoa, I better ask permission. There might be a free option. Permission,
but you know that I won't spend that money.
Yes, I do.
Like,
I do.
Unless I absolutely have to, and you're the same way.
Like, yes, but I think you have to have that going in, that you're like, hey, I'm going to communicate that. So that would be another thing, a financial agreement. Next one would be conflict.
Conflict, yes.
Handling it immediately and face-to-face or by phone if possible. I don't think you can let things stew or things just...
I mean, this is really hard to do, so you just have to kind of force yourself to do it.
It's really hard to do, and I think the other thing is if you're the person that screwed up, or you're the person that made the mistake, like, just own it.
Right. Actually, you're good at that, actually. That's one of your talents. Because it immediately disarms me, right?
Yeah.
Like, I can't say, like, if you admit that you're wrong, I can't say anything anymore. And so I usually just shut up, and then that's it.
Well, and I think it's not easy to do. I was not like that for a really long time. But I've realized that, like, even if I don't agree, this is actually a benefit of therapy. So you think I'm crazy for going to therapy all the time, but this is a benefit of going to therapy. It doesn't really matter if I agree with your exact thing of what I've done, right? It doesn't matter if I'm like, but actually, like, because the reality is that's how you're feeling. That's what you're thinking. That's your deduction. And so, like, I've got to own that and then make it right. And I can still, like, does it matter if, like, I don't agree with 5% of what you said? No, but what people tend to do is they take that 5% that maybe isn't true, because that's, like, the emotion side of what you're coming with, and that's what they focus on and flip out about, and then it spirals out of control. So just own it and fix it and move on.
So you're saying that there's 5% that I'm wrong? I'm just kidding.
What I'm hearing you say is... But think about it. It can even be like a wording thing, right? Where people get spun up over how something is approached, how people approach them, right? It doesn't even have to be part of the reality. They can just get spun up over how it's said. And that's just it's not worth it.
That's correct. Well, we actually don't have that problem.
No.
Like, you'll just say, hey, my fault, won't happen again. What am I going to say after that?
I mean.
Nothing, right?
Hopefully nothing.
Yeah.
I usually say I'm sorry.
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not going to harp on it anymore. That's just like the end of the conversation. There's like no room for any more conflict after that.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Okay. So let's see. Addressing conflict quickly.
I think those are the main points. Do you have anything else? I mean, you have more negative experiences than I do in this department.
I would say that I would, my personal opinion, and I, this is just my, if you're talking to Tony, work with someone you can have fun with.
Right. Right.
Because I think a lot of the highlights of us working together have been the things that we've done. Like, we went to China together. We've been to NBA finals together. We've been to a ton of events together. It's fun. And, like, why not do something that makes how you make money even better?
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.